broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. Action alert.
You breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here is a weird one from St. Petersburg, Florida. A 61-year-old front desk clerk at a Florida apartment complex has been fired after mistaking the body of a tenant for a mannequin and throwing it in a trash bin. The man told police he saw the body in the parking lot of the 16-story St. Petersburg apartment building early Wednesday and assumed someone put a mannequin there as part of a prank. A co-worker arrived and told him a body was in the parking lot, but he insisted it was a mannequin. So he got a newspaper carrier and her son to help him toss the body in the garbage. A maintenance worker saw the body and then called authorities. Police say it turns out it was not a mannequin. It was the body of a 96-year-old woman who jumped from her apartment balcony and was as stiff as a board. Oh, boy, we have plenty of weird stories, very similar, coming up for you on the program tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua.
We should tell everybody right off the bat here, Forrest, that we are breaking new technological ground tonight, aren't we?
It's a first for us, Forrest. It might sound a little weird, but we're doing it.
That's right. We're always on the cutting edge of technology because, for those who don't know, I am here in Puerto Rico right now. I've been here for months now. I have a base down here where I do research in the Bermuda Triangle. And usually, when I'm down here, I host the show from here. And back in our flagship Asheville studio, News Radio 570, WWNC, you are there, Forrest, at the controls. And Ms. Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop is in the studio with you. Tonight, however, not only am I here, but you are in a different location than usual. You're not in the studio. Where are you, Forrest?
I'm in Carolina Shores, North Carolina, right on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina, between Wilmington and Myrtle Beach. The studio is empty tonight.
And where are you, Investigator Shelley Wright?
I am in Asheville, North Carolina, at my house.
So all three of us are sitting here on our little devices, and we are attempting to, well, let me put it this way. I recently read a story about quantum physicists proving that they now could create non-local entanglement between multiple points in space-time. This is kind of similar to what we're doing here tonight. We are at three separate points in space-time, and we are all coming together and magically transmitting a singular message to those of you listening around the world. Fair enough, Forrest. Does that sound like
only two of us are walking distance from the beach.
That's, well, actually, on the other hand, Shelley, I think it's been flooding quite a bit in Nashville, so maybe you're pretty close to the water as well.
I think I am.
Yeah, Forrest, you know, that's, it's kind of ironic. You left Asheville when it's flooding to go to the beach. You could have just hung out in your yard and, you know, sipped on a martini.
True.
Or Mai Tai would be more appropriate, I guess.
So, a pina colada.
Yeah, pina colada. So hopefully this will all work out tonight. It'll be a smooth show, technically, but if we sound a little odd, you'll understand. Hey, we're experimenting, and that's what happens. But
and we are a little odd.
Well, that's right. It figures. And if we actually pull this off and we think it sounds okay, this is going to open the door for us spreading out even more and bringing you even more field reports from locations all over the world. So there are cool possibilities here. What a show we have tonight. But before we dig into the show, for the past 2 weeks, we have not had a new Speaking of Strange. And there is a very sad and profound reason for that. I would like to start by saying, you know, Forrest, your father John and your mother Sharon were great friends. They were guests at my and Lauren's house. Lauren and I stayed with them as guests, and we had nothing but the highest love and respect for your mother Sharon, and she has passed away, and I just want to express on behalf of not only the listeners of this show but also my friends and family our deepest and sincerest condolences. So I know you've been dealing with that. Is there anything you'd like to add for us?
Well, no, but I just thank you for all the kind thoughts and sincere words and just the prayers of people and just like kind words that I say again to people that sent my way to me and my family. And mom passed. She was surrounded by people that she loved, and she's in a better place now.
Yeah. Well, we recently had her photograph linked up to the website and other information. We'll keep it up there for a while for those who would like to learn more about that. But that is why we have not had a show for a while. But hopefully now things are going to get sort of back on track, and especially if this new system works out. You know, in fact, I guess I should bring up that one of the things that I want to talk about on the show tonight, which may even have a little bit of relevance, is this concept that I get asked about from time to time, the concept of angels and demons. And, you know, I started out just as a paranormal investigator looking into the same kinds of spooky mysteries that most people do when they get into this field. But after these many years and having looked into all that I've researched, people, you know, they ask me also topics that become spiritual, and they start delving into the afterlife. And I recently wrote and released a free audio booklet called Angels and Demons Beside You. It's similar to the one that I released last year called The Oblivious Gods. And so on hour number two of the show tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about this concept of angels and demons and you know, we're not going to play the audiobook for you, but we're going to have a more expansive discussion about this. And in fact, I would like for both of you, Forrest and Shelley, to start thinking about whether or not you've actually ever had personal experiences in your lives that you think may have been the product of an angel or a demon. I've got two or three that I can think of, but you guys, you know, just roll that around in your head over the next hour, and if you don't, that's fine. But if you do, I'd like to maybe start a little bit by talking about some of those, and then we'll sort of lead into the thoughts that I have developed about angels and demons after spending so many years investigating ghosts and other spiritual phenomena. And we have just a ton of weird news, obviously, to catch up on tonight. And I also would like to share with everybody, since we haven't been on the air for a couple weeks, a pretty amazing experience, a little adventure that I had down here in Puerto Rico. I'm seeing this aquatic theme continuing to run through our show already. I recently, Forrest, went cave tubing down here.
Cave tubing?
Yeah. Have you ever had an opportunity to go cave tubing?
I haven't.
Yeah. And Shelley, I know you haven't, because you've only been in a cave like twice now over the past year or two, right?
Right.
Yeah. The first cave you went into was the Linville Caverns in North Carolina, right?
Right.
And that was last year?
Yes.
Okay. And then this... I guess it was also last year you went to the Camuti Caverns, and Puerto Rico. And Shelley, you know, the Camuti Caverns are amazing. They're extensive. And so that should give you an idea of just how cavernous the island of Puerto Rico is in general. And so I was able to take an experience where I got on an inner tube and got into a river and went tubing off through the middle of a cave here in Puerto Rico. And that was a pretty wild experience. I'd like to tell you guys a little bit about that when we get back, because, you know, you hear these stories about people like Ralph Lell in North Carolina at Brown Mountain, who says aliens took him into a cave where they were hiding their ship and various technologies. And he said that it was a crystal cave. And he sort of implied that there was something powerful about the crystal structure inside the cave that it related to the way that the alien technology functioned. Well, when I took this cave tubing experience, I was told there was an opportunity to enter a crystal cave that was optional. Because to do this, you've got to really get down and get on your hands and knees and go spelunking and get muddy. And that's never been an appealing idea to me. But, I tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what I decided to do. It's going to be a great show, an historic show, my friends. We're doing tonight's show as we've never done a show before. So wish us luck, and you're taking the ride with us. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back on Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Yeah. Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the E.T. Highway. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. Write that number down if you want to call Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. Shelly Wright, you think we can teach you to sing that song by chance?
I don't know. I can speak a little Spanish, but I can't roll my R's like that yet.
How about Italian?
Rio Grande? Can you say Rio Grande?
I need a practice.
See, Forrest, you and I are far too manly. Our voices are too deep. Our man parts much too large to sing that song properly. But you, Shelly, you might be able to pull it off without any special sound effects.
Yeah, I don't really know how to take that.
Well, it's a hit song. It's an international hit. That's the Italian version. People like to dance to it here in Puerto Rico. And just to remind everybody, if you are just tuning in, and I'll be saying this throughout the show, if we sound a little weird, that's because we're breaking some new technological ground tonight. I am in Puerto Rico. Forrest is on the coast of North Carolina, and Shelly Wright is broadcasting from her private lair, because we know Shelly lives in a lair, just like Batman, like Catwoman. And so we're doing a whole new type of broadcast setup, so we'll see how this goes. If you are listening from your lair at home and you have the computer nearby, go to speakingofstrange.com and you'll find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, links to cool stuff like the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours designed by me. That's at hauntedasheville.com. They are booming now. And I wanted to let you know, if you don't live in Asheville, or let's say you know you're never going to make it to Asheville, you can still enjoy the stories. There is a brand new Haunted Asheville tour app that I created, and it's for people also who, let's say they want to take a tour, but they want to do it on their own time, they don't like being with groups, or they want to do it in the middle of the night, or frankly, if they want to save some money, it's only $4.95, as opposed to going on the tour, which costs $20 per person, even though you also get to see the museum when you do that. But if you go to hauntedasheville.com, you'll find the tour app, and it's got, right now it's only for Android, but we have the iPhone version created, and we're going to be getting that uploaded soon to iTunes. But anyway, you'll have a GPS interactive map that guides you to the haunted places around town, and at each spot you hit a button, you hear my voice telling you the spooky story with music and sound effects, and then there are some spooky pictures. It's a brand new Haunted Asheville app. If you go to hauntedasheville.com and scroll down to the bottom, you'll find it there. And I know that Shelly, everybody knows that, you know, we're friends, and they're thinking you're going to say that you like it regardless, but you actually do like it, don't you?
I do like it, and I am nothing if not honest, and if it sucked, I would tell you and the entire world. But I liked it. I enjoyed it, and there were some new things I learned on there. And, you know, I have been on the walking tour a lot, and, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So at least there's one good 5-star review, and it's true. You will learn some things that you didn't know before. So hauntedasheville.com. Well, again, I'm here in Puerto Rico, and recently I did some cave tubing. Let me tell you how this went. Lauren and I went to this place, and we drove 2.5 hours to the middle of the mountains here in Puerto Rico. And there are mountains here that are almost 5,000 feet tall. And when you get in the middle of the mountains, we went to this small place, and they put a helmet on you and a life vest. We got in the back of a pickup truck, and they took us down this windy dirt road to the top of the mountain. Then we had to get out and hike down a narrow, steep pathway, and we finally ended up at this river called the Tanama River. And there they had some inner tubes, and you jump into the inner tube in the river, which is quite chilly at first. You get used to it. And as you go floating down this river, up ahead, you finally see this cave. It's a sort of a V-shaped cave that you go floating into. And when you get in the middle of it, it's very dark. There, you've got a little flashlight on your helmet, though. There are bats flying around all over the place. I mean, it's wild. In fact, the whole area looks kind of magical because you have these big, kind of weird, stratified-looking rocks that are jutting up out of the river. And finally, when you go through the cave and you come out on the other side, there's a bank where you can sit and relax for a minute. And that's when the guide said, here's something optional. I don't offer this to everybody, but he said, there is another little cave that we can go into. There are only five of us. He said, there's another little cave that we can go into if you want, but you've got to get down on your hands and knees and crawl through the mud. It's very cramped. And I myself have, you know, I'm 6'2", and I've never been fond of this idea of really spelunking. I mean, I've been inside a lot of caves, but I've never really gone and, like, crawled through some little tight spaces. And so I asked the guy, like, how long are you in that? Because I don't want to go through some 20-foot tunnel that I've got to crawl through. No. He was like, oh, it's just for a couple feet. It's just a narrow entrance, and then it opens up big enough for you to stand. So finally I was like, okay, let's do this. So, sure enough, very muddy business, slipping down on your hands and knees, and when we finally came out in this cave, and it wasn't a big cave inside, but it was big enough to stand up, there were cave spiders that were about the size of my outstretched hand, if not bigger.
My gosh.
There were big cave crickets. Lots of bats flying around. There was sort of a bank that we had to crawl up, and it was very slippery and muddy. And finally, when we got over that, sure enough, here was this big, beautiful mound of twinkling, sparkling crystals. And they were they weren't big crystals, but they were tiny little crystals, but millions of them. And I asked the guy what kind of crystals these were, and he wasn't even sure. But, I found that to be a fascinating experience because, again, it reminded me of these stories that Ralph Lell told about entering a crystal cave around Brown Mountain, which is where he would meet the aliens. And you hear all these stories about aliens in Puerto Rico and about UFOs flying in and out of underground bases, sometimes through the water. And here you go into a cave, and sure enough, there's quite a bit of crystalline structure in there. So just an interesting little similarity. But I had a really fun, adventurous time, and I'm actually putting together another more advanced sort of adventure expedition here in Puerto Rico, which will include that and some other cool stuff. But that was neat. If you ever get the chance to go cave tubing, I highly recommend it. Now, let's talk a little bit about some other interesting things that have been developing in the news. For one, I saw this story, and it seemed really exciting to me. It's one of those stories where you're like, could this finally be revealed at long last? They say that the U.S. Navy just announced the end of big oil, and no one even noticed. It appears the Navy has achieved the holy grail of energy independence, turning seawater into fuel. After decades of experiments, U.S. Navy scientists say they think they've solved one of the world's great challenges, how to effectively turn seawater into fuel. And get this, the new fuel is initially expected to cost around only $3 to $6 per gallon. According to the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory, they've already flown a model aircraft on it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you more about what they've done at the Navy, and then we're going to dig into some of these kind of bizarre, quirky little stories. For example, there's one from Montana. What happens when a cop pulls you over and you decide to lick him on the eyeball? I'll tell you. And also, what is up right now with Russia and the moon? We're going to dig into that and a lot more. It's the show where we talk about the amazing, remarkable, downright extraordinary, presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can learn more at wrightscoinshop.com. This is Speaking of Strange. Becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money. So call them, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. You know, the times are changing, my friends, and I think that ultimately that's something that is good and something to feel positive about, but there are also things that are going to die and fall by the wayside, and the dollar system may be one of those things. That's why it's a good idea to invest your money in something that has intrinsic value like gold and silver. And as an example of how things are changing, before the break I was reading this very intriguing and promising story about the U.S. Navy apparently announcing what could effectively be the end of big oil. It's hard to believe it, but they say that they have learned how to turn seawater into fuel. The new fuel is expected to cost around $3 to $6 per gallon. They've already flown a model aircraft on it. Oddly enough, this doesn't seem to be making much of a splash on the evening news. And it's a mystery as to why that is. Again, we're talking about this costing about the same as gasoline. And the more they make it, the cheaper it will get. The technology is in its infancy, and yet it's being called a game changer. Here's essentially how it works. The process pulls carbon dioxide. By the way, that's the greenhouse gas driving climate change, they say. Pulls carbon dioxide out of the ocean. one of the less publicized aspects of climate change is that the ocean acts like a sponge for CO2, and they say it's coming up on reaching some kind of a limit. It's becoming more acidic from all the carbon dioxide. And this is why some of these delicate ecosystems, like coral reefs and whatnot, are becoming damaged. So they're saying that if we are pulling out massive amounts of CO2, this is a good thing. And it's going to not only restore a balance, so to speak, in terms of sort of recycling, but this can actually power things just as effectively as petroleum products, and this could effectively devastate oil-rich countries, but get us out of the Middle East, and, you know, regardless of what the relationship is there, you know, we're spending trillions of dollars every year to sort of secure our interests in the Middle East. And a lot of people believe that once this technology gets out, every dictator propped up by oil will very quickly tumble. So hopefully this story is as legit as it seems to be, but it is strange how that we haven't heard more reporting on it. But it's very exciting. And, you know, I've seen videos before online, many of you probably have, about people who are powering cars and small engines off of water. So maybe this is similar. I think in most of these videos they're taking hydrogen out of water as opposed to what the Navy is talking about here, taking carbon dioxide out of seawater. But, hey, it must be more effective.
Well, you know, Josh, a lot of the media outlets are owned by, like, the big energy companies. Like, CBS, this is owned by Westinghouse.
Yeah, so, well, that's a good point, Forrest. Yeah.
So they don't want this out.
Yeah, you know, you do always have to follow the money, and that's the great thing about the Internet. You know, stories like this have the ability to make it out there because of the Internet, and only because of the Internet in this day and age. So, in fact, I tend to think that, you know, people wonder what would it take for there to be another American Revolution, where people literally get out in the streets and start fighting and rampaging and rebelling. And I've thought about this and thought about this, and I think that, I mean, you could take people's guns away, and I still don't think it would go that far. But if you were to take the Internet away from the American people at this point, I think people would flip out then. You would see people pouring into the streets and rallying and mobbing, and it would look like the Arab Spring, because we have so quickly adopted the Internet system fitting into the sort of definition of free speech in the 21st century. So it's nice that we're able to get these kinds of stories. In fact, when it comes to energy stories, I may as well jump to this one. I mentioned that there is interest in the moon from the Russians, and it's not really surprising, because as you guys may or may not recall, the moon is a major storehouse of a substance called helium-3. And helium-3 is very, very rare here on Earth. But on the moon, it's extremely plentiful. And helium-3 is one of the key components in producing a productive fusion reaction. In fact, it would be so efficient that a ton of helium-3 would be worth billions of dollars if you had this in a tank in your backyard right now in terms of its energy production. And so when you have these ideas of people mining the moon, like we were talking about recently, a lot of this would be because either aliens or humans are up there trying to pump out helium-3. Well, currently, the United States does not have a system in place to travel into space. I mean, if we want to go to the International Space Station right now, we have to rely on the Russians. And so now that they have moved in to this key position. Here's this story saying that Russia has announced that it plans to travel to and conquest of the moon, which actually the Chinese were talking about this a few years ago, and they recently sent in a lander. But it says here, Moscow set out plans to conquer and colonize space, including a permanent manned moon base. And Vladimir Putin himself may actually be planning on suiting up and traveling into space as a cosmonaut to spearhead this. Boy, what, that guy is such a stud, huh, Forrest?
Oh, I definitely think he should go.
Is he going to go there on his horse?
You know, I found it interesting that when I was doing my documentary years ago called Inside the Church of Satan, a lot of these Satanists like Vladimir Putin. And I'm not sure what that tells you, but I just thought that was an interesting role model for Satanists to have. All right, so that's big news right there, all that stuff potentially. Now let's go to our eyeball-licking story from Walkerville, Montana. It says here, the newspaper there reported a man who is 34, he was arrested outside of a bar on a previous warrant. He struggled with officers as they attempted to get him into their car, and at some point, he lunged and started somehow licking one of the policemen in the eyeball. The guy is accused and charged with felony for licking a cop's eyeball. They say, even if you're not an officer's eye, you got your tongue on. Eye licking is always a bad idea. Okay. You know, some officers like to be licked, but I don't think they ever like their eyeballs to be licked. Let's see, we have one more story we'll squeeze in before we take a break. This comes to us, it's about Pluto, another space story. Astronomers believe that Pluto and its moon have all kinds of interesting little objects slamming into them, resulting in weird gravitational patterns and trends, and it's showing us right now when we study these that it's looking like a massive underground sea is probably still there on Pluto. They say liquid oceans could exist all throughout Pluto, and the core there could be very rich in certain minerals. We're going to take a break. When we come back, here's a story. High school closed due to onslaught of snakes. Ew. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren, your host, and coming up hour number two, well, we're going to dig into a controversial subject, but one that I have tried to wrap my mind around: angels and demons. And we're going to talk about them from a realistic perspective, all right? I mentioned before on the program, people ask me about angels and demons quite a bit, especially demons, and I finally put enough thought into it to release a new audio booklet. I call it Angels and Demons Beside You, and we're going to use that as inspiration for our discussion coming up next on the show, so please stick around for that. Let's see, before the break, I was telling you about a high school closed due to an onslaught of snakes. Classes at a high school in Russia, in a town called, here we go, Kyrgyzstan, or something like that, were suspended due to an onslaught of snakes there. The spokesman said that since the beginning of spring, snakes have been sighted every day in the facility. When public health officials were unable to rid the building of reptiles, the Emergency Situations Ministry made the call to suspend classes. Gosh, as if you needed another reason to dread going to school. Wouldn't that be horrible? Just every day, you know, you're walking into a building that may be slithering. Here's a weird story also that some of you may have seen on the internet. I'm not sure what to think about this one. A man was arrested at the Large Hadron Collider claiming he's from the future. That's right, a would-be saboteur arrested at the collider there in Switzerland made the bizarre claim that he's from the future. Apparently his name is Eloy Cole, a strangely dressed young man, said he had traveled back in time to prevent the Hadron Collider from destroying the world. Now, the Hadron Collider successfully collided particles at a record force recently, and this was a milestone that this strange man, Mr. Cole, said he was trying to disrupt. By stopping supplies of Mountain Dew to the experiment's vending machines. He also claimed responsibility for another sabotage last fall, something involving baguettes. He was seized by Swiss police after CERN security guards spotted him rooting around in the bins. He explained he was looking for fuel for his time machine power unit, a device that resembled a kitchen blender. Police said Mr. Cole, who was wearing a bow tie and rather too much tweed for his age, would not reveal his country of origin. He said, quote, "Countries do not exist where I am from. The discovery of the Higgs boson led to limitless power, the elimination of poverty, and Kit Kats for everyone. It is a communist chocolate hellhole, and I am here to stop it ever happening," end quote. So I think we should immediately suspend all operations at the collider. That sounds like a nightmare, doesn't it, Shelley?
Yes, it does.
One last... Yeah, actually, I got to confess, I love me some Kit Kats.
Kit Kats for everyone.
Let me slip this in before we take a break, because I'm actually going to start the next hour off by talking a little bit about cats, and you'll see how that fits in. But here's a story. It says, apparently Discovery Communications, which owns Discovery Channel and Animal Planet, has just bought stake in a new TV channel just for dogs. And apparently, they say, you can put this thing on. It broadcasts 24/7, available through DirecTV. You pay a monthly subscription, like $5, and it has different types of shows, relaxation, stimulation, exposure, and you can leave this on for your dog to watch when you're away. And I will tell you, my dog does watch TV, so sometimes, especially if like that Too Cute show is on. Then my dog does watch TV, so good idea? I don't know. But we're going to talk about cats and then angels and demons when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Go to WrightsCoinShop.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for more on Speaking of Strange.